Intervju Radija Študent.
Steven Barnes, Critical Art Ensemble. Kje je meja med umetnostjo in aktivizmom? Kaj in kdo jo določa? Zakaj ostaja umetnost zamejena z lastnimi mehanizmi reprezentacije? Če umetniki izražajo oziroma reprezentirajo svoje ideje skozi različne medije in se s tem hote ali ne hote distancirajo od dialoga, so, na drugi strani, aktivistične prakse močno zaznamovane z različnimi debatnimi formami. Če umetnost, kot jo poznamo, oziroma večinska umetnost, prej zgolj zastavlja vprašanja, kot da bi se zapletala v debato s svojim občinstvom, se aktivistični projekti aktivno ukvarjajo tudi z iskanjem odgovorov na pereče družbene problematike. Njim gre tudi za izumljanje in prakticiranje novih modelov, kot je denimo živa demokracija, medtem ko večinska umetnost v tej zvezi občutno zaostaja. Večinska umetnost nedvomno ostaja elitistična. Tudi takrat, ko koketira z aktivizmom, s kritičnostjo, kar ponavadi počne z določenim časovnim zamikom. V neizogibnem prepletu z neoliberalizmom navzema njegove mehanizme, je poblagovoljena, samocenzura pa je inherentna. Umetniški kolektiv Critical Art Ensemble je eden tistih akterjev v polju sodobne umetnosti, ki se je s svojim dolgim delovanjem od leta 1987 do danes upisoval v pomembne loge sodobne umetnosti. Člani kolektiva so že v njegovem imenu izpostavili kritičnost kot osrednjo os svojega delovanja, zato ne čudi, da so se veliko ukvarjali z različnimi oblikami upora skozi umetnost in ob njej, bodi si v realnem ali virtualnem prostoru. V pogovoru s Stevenom Barnesom, ustanovnim članom Critical Art Ensemble, ki smo ga vodili ob njegovi ljubljanski predstavitvi v organizaciji Zavoda Axioma, smo se že takoj na začetku premisleka o vlogi kritične umetnosti dotaknili samocenzure in morebitnih povezav umetnosti s sodobnimi uporniškimi gibanji. Slišali smo tudi Stevenova stališče do gibanja Occupy.
Of course, when you're talking about capitalism and everything, then you have to think about the art system and how it is incorporated. And of course, it is very much incorporated. But what I liked very much was this your comment on self-censorship. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, from the my point of view, it's also like in the core of the problem of the censorship at all and about this authoritarianism. And then when you're thinking about it, you always come in a way to that point that, in fact, we are all blockading ourselves not mm-hmm. to do something because it is forbidden.
Right.
And when you are breaking these rules and going through the forbidden territory, then in that sense you are starting to open some new space,
right.
etc. So yeah. maybe you're creating, comment on it.
Yeah, you can create. Well, I mean, that's the struggle always, is to create, like what Peter Lambert and Wilson or Joaquin Bay refer to as those temporary autonomous zones. I mean, when you can push away the repression to a point where you can find a moment, because there's no revolution, there's no, okay, we won and now everything's going to be great. But it flows up and down. There's more or less repression depending on how you can navigate the space and when you can find that space where you are autonomous and you can express yourself freely, you know, those are special moments.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only do that through, like you say, thinking mm-hmm. outside those confines of the structure that they've created for you. Because I mean, they go to great lengths to reinforce values that only support the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And this value system, once you internalize that value system, you've lost. Once you accept their value system as your lifestyle, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be willing to move beyond that comfort zone.
I see that solution for that problem in a kind of socialization between people and getting together, talking a lot and again and again, and debating a lot, and in that sense opening a space. And for instance, as we were talking before about the representation through gallery, etc., I think that art in a way, because it's of course a system of representation through gallery or
right.
whatever place, is a kind of not direct way of debate, of communication, but of course indirect, because it's all the time it goes through some mediators, mm-hmm. Some of media, let's say,
right.
Multimedia, whatever
right.
media, and you always have this step of in-between step of representing through mm-hmm. something, through some act, through some
right.
performance, through some visual thing or some whatever kind of action. And then when we try to think a kind of differences between, for instance, movements like Occupy movements and the movements which are now active globally, sometimes we see some actions of the movements which are again represented in a way in some, for instance, street riots or something like that, through some performances with some artistic, let's say, elements. And then at the same time we have all this representative art represented through an mm-hmm. art system. So can you maybe think a little bit, or have you been thinking about the parallels or getting some common ideas with those movements? Can you give some reflection of those two levels of
right.
representation, let's say?
Well, for us, I think we see it always as a level of negotiation. We'll work with a gallery or a museum or an institution, and sure, clearly they are, you know, cultural entities within the system. We haven't escaped the system at all. You're working within the system, but we live in the system, and we're in constant negotiation with the system about, you know, when are we getting what we want, and when are we just being used, and when are we getting what we want out of it? So it's, you know, sometimes you negotiate a good deal and sometimes you negotiate a bad deal. It just depends on how you set it up. It's like you can't exclude working with, you know, institutions have all the money. So you can't, like, avoid them, because then you can't afford to do anything, because nobody's going to give you any money to do work. So, you know, there's various tactics that we've incorporated to try to do that. One of which is where we will go to a major museum or something. They've got a lot of money. They pay us to come do a presentation. We take that money, and then we can do a project outside with a group that has no money.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we're pushing the money from the institutions to smaller groups that can't get funded.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Because our group has never tried to make money from our practice. We all have jobs that we work every day for our living. And our artwork, as long as it can pay for itself, as long as we have enough money to do our next project, if we get extra money, you know, we'll sort of funnel it to some other group that needs to do a project, and we'll do it with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or we'll give them a project that they couldn't do before, you know. In other words, we'll pay for the travel to come there to do it, you know, and they can find places for us to sleep or whatever. And, you know, there's ways of doing that. And that's one tactic of working with an institution. And like, yeah, we did work with an institution. Because, you know, it's like the whole, like, well, like you talked about the sit-in people, what do they call themselves? The Occupy Movement. Occupy Movement are going through a lot of stress right now, because they're second-guessing themselves. And, you know, when should we, are we caving in if we capitulate to certain things? Or, you know, if they, you know, they don't seem to yet understand the negotiation part of it. Of, like, they can get things that they want, but they're going to have to give up things too.
Mm.
And as long as you're giving up something that doesn't matter, it's okay.
I think.
Yeah, in other words, they don't have to feel so guilty just because they, you know, give in on some level, as long as they're making progress.
V navezavi na razvpiti primer aretacije Steva Kurca, prav tako ustanovnega člana Critical Art Ensemble, ki je potekala z asistenco ameriškega FBI, smo Stevena vprašali o njegovem stališču do udeležbe v galerijskem sistemu. Ta primer je skupina namreč prevedla v prostorsko postavitev, ki jo sedaj predstavlja v različnih galerijah. Kaj torej pomeni umestitev tovrstnega ekscesa v galerijo in kaj v resnici s takšnim poumetnostenjem dosežemo?
Movements these days are talking a lot about direct democracy and the very process and stressing the importance of the process of direct democracy in, of course, in different ways, in different, I don't know, surroundings, but anyhow, I think that this is like a red line of those movements, thinking about direct democracy, etc. Yeah, but when I was thinking about this FBI intervention, and which is for me a kind of art, ready-made art, let's say it like that, I got an association with Stalin, with Stalinism in a way. Some theoreticians are talking about, for instance, about total work of art, Stalin, Gross, for instance, and also Žižek a bit. It was just like an association because suddenly somebody's coming and into your house, etc., etc., from some stupid reasons, doing all those violent acts. And then it was, of course, a great idea to collect the whole of documentation and put it in a gallery, bring it here, whatever. In fact, this very institution of FBI, we have it now a kind of, for instance, here we have it like exhibited here, the consequences of their act. So this is really like proof of the what they have done, but of course it has some symbolical meaning because it's not only the very physical objects, of course, but it's about the whole story, etc. Maybe just your observation about engagement of an artist who is aware about the system as it is. And of course, again, is there any other way to deal with things which is not, for instance, like you said before, we go there and try to get some money from the presentation or something and then to transfer it somewhere. In the meantime, we have to think about our existence and work some other jobs. But is there any other idea how to go further from this very situation?
Like interventionist tactics?
Yes, I mean, they're, let's say.
Well, for us, that's always specific to the situations that you're dealing with. I mean, we very much float from situation to situation. And everything is along a continuum that, like, it's very difficult because in this age, electronic communication and the way things are growing so fast, there's no strategies or tactics that you can nail down and, like, oh, this is always going to work because it's always changing, it's always adapting, it's always, you know, co-opting your tactics and turning them into its own purpose. So it's a constant battle. It's what we deemed earlier. We made a poster once. It was like permanent cultural revolution. You know, there is no end to it. There's always the fight, though. And like I said before, you can push back to some extent, and you get some room, and then sometimes they come in hard, and then it's very tight, and they move. You know, sometimes it's as bad as, you know, what it's like in Afghanistan now. You know, it's like there's war all around you, or like Syria right now. I mean, look, that's a whole different scene, you know. And I've never had to experience that. But in order to not have to experience that, I feel like we have to stay ever vigilant now and always be aware of what's happening around us and where they're moving, and always try to resist it and make people be aware of what's at stake. And sometimes, you know, people get comfortable and they just don't, it could never happen here kind of attitudes, you know, and they lull themselves into just complying. Like I said, that internalization of those values that they just do without even thinking about it.
And then do you see art as like an instrument to attract people or to invite them to be involved? Or do you see it more like some kind of... you know, like just like something to be shown, and then you have it, and then decide. Or you have it, or you see it more like a call. Okay, come and see it, and then get involved.
I see art really in no different way than I see almost every other cultural institution, and that is, it can do potentially good things, and it can do potentially bad things. People have used art to do things that that were, you know, not progressive at all. It just depends on how it's being. It's the context. It's all about the context and how it's being done.
I agree.
Art is an institution that can be used, and it can be used by either side. So we use it sometimes, and other times we don't. I mean, we never call ourselves artists necessarily, unless we need to in a particular situation.
And what is your opinion about representative democracy, the democracy which goes through parliament and all the representative guys? Do you see it like a good solution, or I don't know, whatever?
Yeah. That's a difficult one for me, because it's not something that I've studied that well. I'm not a political scientist at all. But
you don't have to be too...
No, not at all. But I... discussing a model of politicization like that of democracy, and which model would work best. I mean, I see most of those things as being just institutions that are controlled by money, no matter what kind of label you put on it. And so, in the end of the day, it's always going to be a battle against the status quo versus the underclass. There's going to be somebody on top and somebody on the bottom, and the more that right now, like, the separation between those two is huge. Very few people have all the resources, and everybody else is trying to struggle to try to stay alive. So whatever system you can come up with that would rectify that, I mean, I would be for it. But I think it can be done. There's in the past, within the system that we have now, it was better. It wasn't always this bad. I don't know the answer to what it would take to level that out some. Whether it's a shift and a change in the political system, or or, like I said, just basically permanent cultural revolution. I think you basically just... there's always going to be a fight there. There's always going to be a battle. When people are... and I don't mean that in the way of, like, oh, human nature is just bad, because I don't necessarily believe that. I don't think there is any inherent human nature necessarily. I think there's only cultural values that are, like I said, internalized and expressed through people's actions. But, we've just got to... continue to struggle to speak out and expose the atrocities that are being put forth.
Do you have any experiences of collaborating with some movements, maybe?
No, we've never been much in the way of direct political action. This anti-war work that we've done with the Marching Plague and that kind of thing is about as close as you could come to it. We did in the early 90s work a bit with, because it was such a bad situation, with some of the ACT UP. So we did a little bit of direct political action in that era, making agitprop and making posters and propaganda and things like that. It was what we knew. We know graphic arts and the art scene, so that's what we could contribute, so that's what we did. But that wasn't very fulfilling for us, and it wasn't, that was not a model that we enjoyed. It's not, everybody has their thing, and that wasn't our thing. It's just, we've never done that. That's not our path.
Biti politično ozaveščen umetnik velikokrat pomeni biti kolateralna škoda neoliberalnega sistema, ki kreativne vložke posameznikov nenehno predeluje v svojih strojih za neutralizacijo. Samoslaven umetnik je namreč uspešen. Represija, ki je bil podvržen Kurz, je povsem plastična ponazoritev radikalnega terorija neoliberalizma. Slišali smo, da je Critical Art Ensemble sodeloval z družbenimi gibanji, vendar v omejenem obsegu. Današnje razmere pa preprosto narekujejo hibridizacijo umetnosti in aktivizma. In ravno kritični aparat je tisti, ki jo omogoča. Da je temu tako, nam dokazuje tudi Critical Art Ensemble. Vprašanje kvalitete te hibridizacije pa je vedno odprto za poglobljeno analizo. Intervju je pripravil Nenad J.
Intervju Radia Študent.